And once the shadows come, and once my heart belongs to me, and long for heaven and home, when my portion, a constant friend, if he, if I is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. If I is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. If I is on the sparrow, and I know you if I is on the sparrow, and I know he
watches me,
I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. If I is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. If I is on the sparrow,
amen.
And I know he watches.
Okay, I'm here. Thank you so much. Yes. Well, we get started. Okay. Loving Father, we're thankful for the privilege, even for the micro time that we have to examine your word. And so we ask now that you may come in this room and give us wisdom and skill, understanding in your word, and sanctify your hearts or our hearts with your truth. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All
right, make it back.
Okay, so I'll let you start off, Carla.
Okay.
We left off in Leviticus 23, as I recall.
That's right, but, yes, that's a good
but go ahead and again, yeah. Start wherever you like.
Okay, sure, I'm just going to open that back up. I forgot that's where we ended. Just a second. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we can go right on down the list because, you know, I guess that's one of my main questions also because I just don't see how you're able to keep it according to Leviticus 23. So just a second.
Okay. Okay, I just changed codes.
Okay.
All right, so Leviticus 23 is where we started last time. I wanted to share a concept that what we're looking on is was clearly not practiced by early Adventism. Mm-hmm. And so it comes to some people as a matter of strain of the scriptures, because if God really intended for us to know these things, he would show it to Sister Wyatt or it show it to Brother Huddeth. And so we have to overcome that bias, because the truth is going to get deeper, and the Holy Spirit is the author of truth. So if we believe we're guided by the Holy Spirit, and the Bible did not close, and God had more information to give us in the very message he has provided, or the messages, then the Holy Spirit is not silent today, and we're going to look at some things if time allows us to, well, we only have 15 minutes, so let's move ahead.
Right.
Start up, Carla. I took up enough time.
So then we are at verse, I think, 4. It says, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. And the seventh day is a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." So for me, again, on verse 8 is where, you know, I start to have problems, because he says, "Ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days." Well, you know, of course, our high priest is not here on earth. How is that possible for you to offer and make an offering by fire unto the Lord?
That's a fair question. I'd like to just step back a little with respect to that question and look in verses 2 and 3.
Okay.
It says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord." So these are not Moses' or Israel's feasts. These are God's feasts, which he shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. So we see that these feast days are called holy convocations. It's important to see that. And first among them is the third verse. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. So we saw that these are the feasts of the Lord, and the Sabbath stands as queen of them, a holy convocation. Then we come down to Passover now, and we see verse 4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations." So all the feast days we're going to read continuing throughout the remainder of this chapter are holy convocations or Sabbath. They're Sabbath days. So your question, since it mentions a sacrifice to the Lord for 7 days, how would we do that today, since our high priest is no longer here on earth, there's no earthly sanctuary, etc.? I would invite your attention to Numbers chapter 28 to answer that question.
All right. Numbers 28.
Verses 8 and 9.
Verse 8 and 9. All right. Okay. All right. Go ahead and read.
Yes. Actually, 9 and 10 would be sufficient.
Oh, 9 and 10. Okay. All right. So it says here, "And on the Sabbath day, 2 lambs of the first year without spot and 2 tenth deals of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the continual burnt offering and his drink offering."
So which day do you think this is speaking of?
I'm assuming it's the actual Sabbath day, so the one, you know, our Sabbath that we keep today.
The weekly Sabbath.
The Sabbath to keep it holy.
So here we have a double sacrifice being offered on the weekly Sabbath. We still find a way of observing the weekly Sabbath today without this double sacrifice. So the absence or presence of the sacrifice, is not what makes the day holy.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are appointed times that God has in his own providence. Before the earth was created, he had established these times. And so when sin came in, he placed them in the framework of the plan of redemption and placed redemptive themes in them. Now, in the new earth, we're still going to keep these holy times. But we won't have sacrifices because, I mean, it's a land of eternal life. We won't have sacrifices, but these appointed times will still be there.
Now, what makes you say that these appointed times will still be there? Because the Bible tells us, I think it's what, Isaiah 66, it says, you know, from one new moon to another. I think it was actually one Sabbath soon, actually, to another.
Yeah.
You know, come to worship me. Uh-huh. And and then it talks about keeping the Sabbath from one Sabbath to another, but it never mentions Sabbath. with an S, just Sabbath, which we know the one, you know, for me, I take it, of course, is the one that's part of the Ten Commandments, you know, the Sabbath day.
What
it
about
doesn't
the
talk
new
about moon? Sabbath.
What about mm-hmm. the new moons?
Oh, I think we're going to, I think God has set those moons in place for time. I think if we were doing, you know, if this world wasn't, you know, the way that it is under Roman, you know, stuff, we would still be counting our days and times and stuff by the sun, by the, you know, it's amazing because, like, I homeschool. And so with my kids, you know, I've learned that, you know, exactly how, you know, the Lord rotates is how much is a year. All of those things God put in place to keep time. He even says that these are for times and seasons.
I like that. I like that very much. And you've struck it right on the head, perhaps about noticing. And remember, it says from, in fact, why don't we look at it quickly? I know we are running short on time. We have to come back to it. But Isaiah 66, 24.
Okay, 56.
Oh, make it 23.
Okay, so you said 56. Okay, just a second, 56.
Isaiah 66, verse 23. So while you're going there, remember we saw that Passover has sacrifices on it. We see that the weekly seventh-day Sabbath also has sacrifices on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the exemption of the cessation of the sacrifices did not bring an end to the Sabbath. In Isaiah 66, verse 23, the profound statement that many people have looked on closely enough. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me. So the new moon are worship days. The Sabbath are worship days. So we have to understand, what does it mean by new moons? What in the scriptures teaches about the new moon? As people are coming here.
I always thought that the new moon, I don't know where I got this information from, but maybe it was some little book that I think Keisha gave me, actually. The one thing I did learn is that back in the days, Jerusalem, every time someone would always have to record when they saw a new moon. And I think they took like three people to, you know, confirm that truly the new moon was seen, because that's how they determined every month, was it not? Every month
it's
was determined
true,
by the
new moon.
It's true,
but there's a reason. Why do they need to determine the months? Because the annual Sabbaths are dictated by the new moon. The weekly Sabbath is by the month, by the sun. So you cannot observe Passover without the new moon or any of the other feast days.
Right.
In order to show us that the continuum is there, he shows us from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath, to another shall all flesh come to worship. So there is a reason more than just time punctuation, because eternity is time without end. We don't need to really see, you know, is it 1905 or, you know, 2068? It doesn't matter. Time is eternal. But it shows throughout the punctuation of eternity, there would be worship. And in order to ascertain the worship days, we must know the new moons. And that's what Leviticus 23 is all about. That's the whole story of Leviticus chapter 23.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'll just listen and I'll take it in.
All right, so let's go back then to Leviticus 23 to appreciate Isaiah 66. Since we've just looked in the passage you asked me, we started on the Passover. So let's look on the Passover a little more closely. And especially for us as present truth believers who believe in the first fruits and the second fruits, there's a whole lot of relevant information in here.
Right.
So we're in Leviticus 23, and beginning at verse 5, in the 14th day, Leviticus 23, verse 5, in the 14th day of the first month, of the first moon, at even, is the Lord's Passover. How do you know Passover without the new moon? Nobody could tell it. You could not know Passover without having a calendar that recognizes and respects the new moon.
Right.
And so if these new moons are somehow forgotten, then we won't know how to place these feast days. So that's the first thing. And you'll see when it says the 14th day of the first month, it means the first moon, the first new moon.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 6 says, and on the 15th day of the same moon, month is moon, 15th day of the same moon or month is a feast of unleavened bread. So notice the annual festivals, the annual Sabbaths, are days of a month. It's a day of a month rather than the day of a week. Only the weekly Sabbath, eh?
No, that was saying yes. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. So going down further, you'll see all the things that are required, the sacrifices and so on. And as I explained last time, we no longer need to conduct a sacrifice because the eternal sacrifice came and died. So we keep the feast days in antitype, respecting the fact that the antitypical sacrifice has been offered once and for all time.
Right.
So as to use, I know we only have 5 minutes, but I want to just touch some high points, and we come back again, we can take a deeper dive. Look at verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the...
Oh, no, go ahead. No, I was just saying, yes, I'm there.
And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Mm-hmm. So here we come to counting 7 Sabbaths. This is counting Pentecost. Without Passover, we cannot find Pentecost, because here you have 7 Sabbaths from Passover leading you to Pentecost and the morrow after that 7th Sabbath. So how do we know when Pentecost comes? We believe that there's going to be a latter rain. And the Bible says the latter rain falls in the time of the latter rain. So if it is to fall in the time of the latter rain has a season. And if we don't know God's calendar, we'll be out of time. The former rain fell on time.
Yeah, that it did, But let me ask you, though, I mean, as present truth believers, don't we believe that the latter rain is truth? And aren't we living in the time of the latter rain?
It's two components of truth.
Okay.
It's the truth of, it's the message of truth followed by the message of power. That's what happened in the former rain in the days of the disciples.
Right.
They had the truth associated with the power after. And these things are time measured, time dated. It was when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Bible says, that the Holy Spirit was poured out on them in unwanted power. Now, Pentecost hasn't lost its meaning. We know that there is to be a second Pentecost. So there has to be another outpouring of grace at the time appointed in the typical service.
Mm-hmm.
God does
Well, let me
work
ask you a question, then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah. Totally. I can see that, you know, with all of this, that's the one blessing I've truly gotten from this, is I see that God is a God of time, and he has his appointed times for things. You know, there's a time and a season for everything, basically, is what the Bible says.
Amen!
But my question is, okay, as present true believers, we believe that the extra power of the Holy Spirit will fall after the church, of course, is purified. So is it going to be important that we actually know the time? I'm not even sure, I mean, with... You know what I'm saying? Is it important that we know when that extra power is going to begin? Because from what I understand, you know, from what Ellen G. White says, when the Holy Spirit is poured down, you know, those that have died in the third angel's message will be risen to see the glory placed on the 144,000, you know, and that's after, of course, that God delivers his people. Is it going to be important for us to know the exact timing of that? Would we even be able to calculate that because we would have been going through that Jacob's time of trouble? I'm not even sure if we're able to keep up dates and so on.
We will, because we know.
Asking God to just please help us and deliver us because of the agony that we're going through.
Remember Ellen White talked about the Jubilee of Jubilees? Even at the second coming, it occurs on the Jubilee. So these appointed times are important on God's calendar. Christ promises that he's going to keep Passover in the kingdom with us. So these times are still important. Rome took them away from us, and we've forgotten about them. And because we have to shut down there momentarily, I'll give you this one little nugget to think about. Remember when Judah went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years? They lost track of time. They lost track of the Sabbath and all the holy appointed times. When they came back, Nehemiah had to really raise a roof behind them and said, I will lay hands on you if you keep violating the Sabbath and hedging, you know, coming, trying to barter on the Sabbath day. He had to really be stern with them and teach them back into Sabbath observance and into the observance of all the holy appointed time. And you remember how they had a real rejoicing. And it was there that the prophecy was given that the glory of this latter house shall exceed the glory of the former. Now think of this. The rod teaches, and the Bible teaches, let me say, that the Christian church has gone into a Babylonian captivity in like manner, in the antitype, spiritual darkness, the black horses.
Yes.
And when she comes back, when she went in, she had lost sight of all these appointed times. When, when Israel came back, when they came out of the wilderness, so to speak, then they started restoring the true worship. And that's exactly what God did. He started restoring the Sabbath, the sanctuary. We started seeing there is a difference between clean and unclean meat, that we should not be eating anything and everything. And now he's bringing us up to understanding these appointed times we're not done away with. And we don't have time tonight that I will share with you so many more wonderful things regarding these appointed times and who changed them, not God. All the apostles get there.
Well, let me ask you a question then, and
quickly
before I go. I guess two things. The first thing is, then what was nailed to the cross then? I mean, something was nailed to the cross.
Question.
What was
it? I love
that
question. I'm going to answer it with a very simple verse, Daniel 9, 27. Yeah, verse 27, Daniel 9, 27. We're familiar with this, and so I will just read it with emphasis for the cause of what we're looking on here. When you're there.
You said 9, verse 27,
right? Daniel 9, verse 27. I'll wait for you in this one.
All right, you said 9, verse 27?
Uh-huh, the last verse in Daniel 9.
Yes, I'm there.
Speaking of the Messiah, it says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause to cease. Let's see what he's going to cause to cease. In the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. No, let me read it again. He shall cause the sacrifice and the feast days to cease. No. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And the rest I'll leave out. That which ended at the cross was a sacrifice and the oblation. Christ caused it to cease. That's what Daniel says. A lot of people
what
have
it. What is the oblation?
These are the meal offerings and drink offerings and a lot of the other non-blood sacrifices that were offered. Even some blood sacrifices were called oblations, depending on the time, you know, when they were offered. But the whole sacrificial system, in other words, came to an end. I've already demonstrated that the Seventh-day Sabbath had a copious amount of sacrificing on it. So the cessation of the sacrifice did not determine the end of the Sabbath.
No, that's part of the Ten Commandments, and that will always be part of that law, right?
Well, you know, the feast days were mentioned before even the Sabbath.
The Ten Commandments have been around from eternity.
Amen. And so were the feast days. They've been. That's why in eternity to come, we saw the Sabbath and the new moon.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into that for. Okay. All
yeah.
Right, we'll look into that. Go ahead.
No. I want to respect your time. You needed to do something with your mom.
Yeah, I know.
So.
And then one other thing. I'm going to quickly think so I can think. Now, you're saying one of the things that's on my mind also is the fact that you say that it's necessary for the 144,000. My question, if it was necessary for the 144,000, why was not that given to Brother Huddup, who says that his message is the last message, and it's the message that will take you into the kingdom?
Well, I'll read this. I'll give you the answer in this, Nahum 1, verse 15. And we'll talk about this when we come back next time. But I'll leave you with this one.
All right, I'm there.
Behold, upon the mountains, and Rod believers know this well, behold upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Mm-hmm. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast.
Yes.
Perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He's utterly cut off. Do you notice that it says the wicked shall no more? So, in other words, they were keeping the feast before, and it went on to showing that the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He's utterly cut off.
Right.
That's when the feast days have really met their completion in us, because that was the purpose of all of them, restoring the character, the image of Christ back in mankind. So out of this message of good tidings of the kingdom, we will find in it a solemn appeal, O Judah, keep thy solemn feast. In this glad tiding of the kingdom, we will discover the relevance of keeping the solemn feast, plural.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll think about that one then. All right. Thank you. Yes, I will definitely.
Sure. Well, let's close out with prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the little time we've spent together, and you've made miracles out of fish and loaves of bread, and we pray that you make miracle out of this little time that we've put in your word. May your Holy Spirit give us wisdom and discernment as we discover and search into these things, and we thank you in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much. And then so as soon as I know another time, I'll go ahead and give you a call back.
Fine. All the best. Okay. Have a blessed evening.
All right. You
sure.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
birds and watch at the shadows come and watch at my heart belong to me and alone for heaven and home. When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm I sing because